Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith to Live By, where each week I help us explore current events from a biblical and prophetic perspective, so we, as God's children, can know how He wants us to respond. I'm Pam Christian, the researcher, writer, producer, and host of this podcast, and I sincerely appreciate you listening today. Last week, I announced that Stephen Groves would be my guest to help us know more about Project 2025, also referred to as the Presidential Transition Project, which is overseen by the Conservative Heritage Foundation. The multi-pronged initiative includes a detailed blueprint for the next Republican president to usher in a sweeping overhaul of the executive branch of government. What makes this especially interesting is that the Democrats and other left-leaning leaders have been speaking about this project more than conservatives out of fear for what could happen to them. And as they always do, they have been twisting the realities of the project to make Trump out to be a tyrannical ruler who, they say, would ruin our democracy. First of all, our nation was founded as a constitutional republic, but under the radical left-leaning leaders, our nation has been run like a democracy, which in itself leads to tyrannical control. As always, they project what they are doing on others as a way to hopefully have their actions undetected. Second, these leaders who are aligned with those seeking a one-world government have every reason to be frightened, considering their treasonous deeds that God has called out through several prophets, clearly stating that He, God, is clearing out our corrupt governmental leaders. Unfortunately, Stephen and his entire family got ill, so we'll have to wait till next week to hear from him about Project 2025, and it will be good, I promise. Looking at world events today, just as God has promised, many things have escalated all around the globe. As God continues to expose evil for the purposes of judging it before the eyes of the world, evil, wherever it exists, is in a panic, striking out every which way possible. This is the reason you are experiencing even greater devastation and chaos much closer to home. But God has told us how to deal with this, which is to decree and declare what He has said, to stand strong on His word, and do not give up. God will do what He says He will do in the lives of His children who do not give up. Those of us who remain in the faith and obey God will find ourselves in His protection and provision, and this is certainly what we're seeing taking place in Israel today. The escalation of events in the Middle East give us clear indication of the invisible enemy's increased panic with the realization that God is closing in. Early Sunday morning, the 22nd of September, 2024, I received an alert from Amir Safadi. He was clearly sleep-deprived because of the three separate Hezbollah barrages sent throughout the night. Hezbollah targeted the northernmost airbase in Israel with roughly 40 long-range rockets fired, most of which were intercepted. Amir reported some of the rockets fell in open spaces. Clearly, the range of rockets is now expanded and war is imminent. Amir stated thousands of Israelis have been drafted ahead of a ground maneuver expected in Lebanon. You'll find a link in the show notes. This report confirmed the report Amir gave on Saturday about Israel being on the eve of a major war with Hezbollah and Lebanon. Israel received human intel about Hezbollah attempting retaliation against Israel for their strategic attack on an apartment complex in southern Beirut, where 15 top Hezbollah commanders were taken out. Two were wanted by the United States for their part in the 1983 bombing of the U.S. Embassy. Israel learned that Hezbollah wanted to send 1,000 rockets from all different directions into Israel, but armed with intel, Israel sent a preemptive strike that took out 500 launchers that had hundreds of missiles in them. Thousands in all were destroyed by Israel. This has put both Hezbollah in Lebanon and Iran in tremendous confusion, because clearly they have been infiltrated with someone or more than one person feeding intel to Israel. This came on the heels of Hezbollah troops suffering great damage with their pagers exploding one day and then radio communication devices exploding the next, injuring hundreds of terrorists who seek to destroy Israel. With world events escalating on a variety of fronts, I encourage you to connect with me on Truth Social, X, formerly Twitter, Gab, and the Blessed to Teach neighborhood. I post about significant news several times a day. I didn't include Facebook with that list because Facebook is censoring many of my posts. We have to remember all of this in Israel and what's going on in the Ukraine and Russia and China and North Korea and many other places are all part of God exposing evil for the purposes of judging it. And do not be naive about evil in the church. It exists there too, and God is judging it first. I've said many times over the 4 years I've produced this podcast, the reason the world is in the mess it's in today is because the church has failed to be the ecclesia God intended. So today, I bring a sober message to both church leadership and all Christians worldwide to help us see the truth about the condition of the church so we can repent, realign, and reform Christ's church and our respective nations in partnership with God. I also share a clip from a prophetic word God gave to Robin Bullock that was shared on Elijah Stream's intelligence briefing hosted by Steve Schultz in July this year. I ask you to listen to this podcast for yourself so you can make sure you are in position to be in God's protection and for you to share this podcast with your church leadership because God is not allowing corruption in His ecclesia any longer. The time of judgment is upon us. Every Christian is recognized by God as a king and priest, co-laborers and joint heirs with Christ, and ambassadors for Christ. We are all leaders called to influence the people in our sphere of influence according to God's word. Additionally, God calls specific men and women to particular places of leadership for the church who, because of their positions of influence, are called to a higher standard. James 3:1 and many other passages support this. Anyone who has been called by God to leadership, who has compromised their role, and those who have assumed positions of leadership who are not called by God, you are especially being addressed by God in this hour. Whether you serve in a position of church leadership or not, we are all subject to God's discipline and judgment in these very days where God is intervening in the affairs of mankind worldwide. I remind you, I do not hold office of a prophet. I have spoken prophetically, just as the Apostle Paul said all Christians can. I am called to be a teacher, and as such, I study the Word of God, listen to proven prophets of God, and prayerfully seek to discern what God wants of His people, and then encourage all of us in that. Faith and obedience are vital for each one of us to remain in God's protection and provision. God has prophetically promised the days at hand will get very dark as He intervenes. He has said it will be very difficult to walk by faith, given all we will see and hear in the process of His administering judgment. So I pray you will let today's podcast penetrate your mind, heart, and soul, that you seek the Lord to know any area of compromise in your life that needs repentance. To set the context for today's program, from the Garden of Eden, God made clear evil exists, and those who want to escape evil must be aligned with Him and obey His commands. And that reality has existed from the beginning and will continue until Christ returns to make His final judgment against evil. We are living in a time when evil has progressed greater than the earth has ever experienced, and therefore God's judgment will be the greatest the world has ever known. Evil advances the most through people who reject God. However, evil also works through those who are God's people who willingly compromise their faith, essentially step out of the covenant with God. I invite you to do a quick read through the book of Genesis to see the progression of evil and God's constant intervention to discipline those who belong to Him and judge those who do not. Through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, God established His nation of people called both Israelites and Hebrews. In the Bible, the term nation always means nations of people identified by the God or gods they serve. God raised Moses up to be the deliverer of His people who had become enslaved by the Egyptians for over 400 years. Moses is a type and foreshadow of Jesus Christ, who was and is the deliverer of all the people of the world who choose to be rightly aligned with God through faith in Christ. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10, when Moses referred to the assembly of God's people, he uses the Hebrew word gal, which is translated to the Greek word ecclesia. In the New Testament, the word ecclesia is often translated as church. The assembly was to be the corporate body of God's people who influence the world for God, who attract people to faith in God, to help them choose life, and to learn how to live in ways that overcome sin and evil, to live in ways that subdue evil. The word ecclesia has a rich history. In its root form, it means called out ones. This word, ecclesia, was used in a political context in ancient Athens to identify qualified citizenship responsible for electing officials, declaring war, and military strategy. When Jesus commended Peter for him receiving the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, Jesus essentially said, "Upon this rock, this revelation that I am the Christ, I will build my ecclesia," which is translated to church. To his disciples at that time, common understanding of the word ecclesia would have included qualified citizenship as Christ followers, responsible for electing officials within the church, and declaring war and military strategy against evil. And about his ecclesia, Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16, verses 17 to 18. Jesus is predicting he will build a community of called out ones who will live in obedience to God, thereby in the power and the authority of Christ to overcome evil in this world. And I hope to have adequately expressed how God has always intended his people, his nation, his ecclesia, his church, to influence the world and not the other way around. When God's people fail to uphold his standards, when we compromise at any level, we lean into the ways of the world, then little by little, the evil in the world penetrates the church. As we see repeatedly in the Bible, when God's people reject him in preference for ways of the world, the ways of sin, he gives them over to their choices until they realize their condition and call out to him for help. Every time God's people genuinely repent and seek him, he hears their prayers and he heals their land. Healing the land includes judgment against evil. God's judgment has many aspects. It can be redemptive or a discipline to correct. It can be transformational. It can be to hold someone accountable. And it can be condemning. As the Ecclesia, we are instructed to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we are to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. When we fail to do this, evil advances. It's that simple. Because God has clearly instructed and provided his people everything we need to do his will, including having the entirety of scriptures and the indwelling Holy Spirit in our times, when we fail, we are held to a higher standard. This is why 2 Peter 4:17, God states, "His judgment begins with the house of the Lord, the Ecclesia." And indeed, we are seeing God judge the leadership of the Christian church in this very hour. As judgment begins with the house of the Lord, it will surely follow into every other area of leadership and influence that exists. We've learned of corruption in essentially every nation in the world. We've learned of corruption in the United Nations, in the World Health Organization, in the banking institutions, big pharma, big tech, and in fact in all the seven mountains of influence, which are religion, government, business, family, education, media, and arts/entertainment. Genuine Christians worldwide who have allowed evil to flourish without doing anything about it will be visited by God with corrective judgment. Leaders in the church who have been called by God will be held responsible for the truth they did or did not share with their congregations. The fact that church leadership, at least here in America, has failed to adequately talk about current events is outrageous to me. And it seems that God, speaking through Robin Bullock, feels the same way. In context, Robin is speaking of how many prophets predicted a second term for Donald John Trump, and how, when events unfolded as they did with the 2020 election, many of the prophets backtracked, and many pastors openly found fault with the prophetic. Robin is among a handful who stood firm on what God told him, to which God provides this prophetic warning. In God's word that Robin shares, you will hear God say, "I anointed your leader," referring to Donald Trump. Listen to this clip from Robin, which is God's word to the church, which includes all Christians worldwide, and especially leadership.
See, when it first happened, the people did their job. So it was between him and the prophets. The prophets stood and did their job. Now it comes back to the people again. Right? But then he started telling me about something else, about leaders of the churches. And I'll read you the prophecy he gave me. And I put this, I said this on your program. I said it on the 11th hour. And the Lord said, this is where the church is. See, yeah, I'll just read it. He said this. He said, the body of Christ is the most powerful entity on the face of the earth, capable of moving mountains with faith only the size of a mustard seed. They think they cannot lose. And in the abstract, they cannot. But they believe they cannot lose for the wrong reasons. They believe that God will win it for them, even if they do not try. However, faith is involved. Decision is involved. Both must be in play in order for the body to win, moment to moment. It is the same in the time we found ourselves in. Faith and decision must be in play. And added to this, boldness and action. Then added to this is a willingness to speak. In the time you found yourself in, faith, decision, boldness, and action of speech is how you got into the kingdom and nothing has changed. Now you can, he said, can you lose in the abstract? Nay, says the Lord. Can you lose in the moment? Most certainly, if these four things are not in play. Then he started talking to the leaders of the churches. He said, you started bold, then you went another way. Once again, you stand on the precipice of winning or defeat, but you have positioned the prophets as scapegoats to bear the brunt of defeat if it should turn. Stand as the body in the glory of his majesty. Use faith, make decisions, have boldness and action of words, and believe God will honor it. Hear the word of the Lord. Time. You speak of time. What is time? Time is the essence of the prophetic in the natural world. This is your time, says the Lord. Your time. You speak of my sovereignty, says the Lord, but what about yours? This is your time. I have anointed your leader. Now is the time, your time, to stand behind him. If it is lost, says the Lord, it is not me that has failed, but you, because you will not stand. This is your time to tell the sun to stand still and the moon to stand still. This is your time. Will you not step up in it and speak faith, speak bold, speak loud? There is a time and a season for every purpose under heaven, and this is your time. I have done my part, says the Lord, on my side of the line. Now do yours and tell the moon to stand still. This is what he said. So we're at a place. It's not between God and his prophets now. It's between God and the people and the churches. Pastors won't say. They won't speak. They're afraid of losing their platforms most of the time. The thing is this. It becomes like Esther. Esther. You know, it's amazing. As you know, I think Saul's father was an ancestor of Mordecai, something like that. Isn't that something? But anyway, in Esther, I think that's right. Anyway, in Esther, Mordecai, the prophet, comes to Esther, and he says, they're going to destroy the nation of the Jews. You speak. You're the queen, the body of Christ. That's who she represented. Said, you speak. She said, I can't speak. If I do, if I go before the king will kill me. Mordecai said, this is my phraseology. Let's take something off the table for you. If you think by not speaking that you'll save yourself, he said, watch now. The Lord will raise up deliverance for the Jews from another place. Not a person, a place. But you and your father's house won't survive. Pastors won't speak. They heard the prophet speak for 3.5 years. They wouldn't listen to them. Most pastors wouldn't even listen to the prophets. Hey, we want to distance ourselves from them prophets. You distancing yourself from prophets got you into that crap to start with because you wouldn't listen to somebody speak. You wouldn't listen to a prophet talk about tomorrow. You say, I remember when somebody said, well, why didn't any of the prophets know about COVID coming? Said none of them knew about it. And then suddenly, I'd speak for our ministry, suddenly somebody posted a video where I was standing on stage on April 30th, 2019 and said, there's a sickness coming, a plague coming, a pestilence coming. And when we posted all of that, he said, well, I guess I was wrong. Well, then we go back and find another prophecy from 2016 on September 7th, I think it was. And it said that there's a sickness coming into the earth and it'll make the nations tremble and it's going to hit in this planet. And it told the whole thing. Why didn't anybody know that? How many prophets do you think knew that? But nobody would let them in their church to say it. And if they said it, oh, don't say that. That's negative. Well, death is negative too. But maybe if the church had the prophets had liberty to say those things, instead of prophets sitting around a table with coffee saying, you know, there's a sickness coming. Yeah, I know it, man. I heard the same thing. You think prophets don't know that? They know this stuff. Do you remember the prophets told Elisha, don't you know your master will be taken from your head today? He said, yeah, I know it. They all knew it. But everybody needs to know it. So the prophets have been saying for 3.5 years, Trump's the president. Trump really did win. This really happened. There was a landslide. This took place. This took place. This took place. And the pastors, oh. Why? Because they came after people. They don't want to lose their platforms. But what you compromise to keep, you will lose. And what happens is, remember the old saying, the back door you leave open for the devil to come, that's for you to get out of, the devil will come in that door. So you, pastors, you can't tell people who to vote for, but you can tell them the precedent and the prophecies and let them make up their own mind, because it's between God and the people, but it's also between God and the pastors. Pastors won't speak. I had a well-known politician talk to me the other day on the phone, call me, and he said this. He said, he don't know this. He don't know anything I just told you. He said, the hardest thing in the world is to get pastors to speak. He said, they're worse than mafia bosses. He did. That's what he told me. He said, they're worse than mafia bosses. Since when, baby, we don't need to be involved in politics. Really? Is that true? Okay, then why don't somebody tell Elijah to not talk to Ahab and Jezebel? You should tell Elisha to leave Jehu alone. Why don't you turn around and tell Jeremiah to leave Zedekiah alone? Why don't you turn around and tell Moses, don't go before Pharaoh, that's the government. You start going with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, Elisha. You start going from prophet to prophet to prophet to prophet, and every one of them is talking to a king. You get to John the Baptist. Remember what John said to Herod? John addressed Herod. What about Jesus? Well, Jesus didn't really. When Jesus was born, what was involved? The IRS was involved with Jesus' birth. Taxes were being levied. That's what, that was all in his birth. Taxes were levied. Caesar was involved. Herod was involved. All of these were involved. The killing of babies was involved, ordered by the government. Abortion. Everything's involved. And when the, God's people are involved. Well, I don't want to speak. Well, let's take something off the table for you. Deliverance will rise up from another place. But the ones who won't speak may not preserve what they tried to preserve any longer. Man, it's just too big to fail. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I want to ask you a question. And I know it's probably rhetorical. I'm just asking. You know, I say you is everybody. You is the use of the world. What did you get your platform for if you won't speak the truth? What? Well, we got to use wisdom. Most of that's a cop-out. We got to use wisdom. Most of that's just a cop-out. You're just hiding. What do you have your platform for? You can't tell people who to vote for. Nobody's asking you to. But tell the truth. Why don't you stand up and tell what things like the LGBTQ is wrong in doing? Speak against BLM. Speak against what it's against God's word. Why don't you speak the truth? Speak these things that the LGBTQ community is stealing destinies away from tomorrow's soldiers in the army of God. Why don't you say that they're stealing the destinies of people? They're stealing their identities. Why don't you speak that from the platform? Well, we just preach this. And what you're doing is waiting for this thing to see if it fails or he really goes back in office. And if it don't make it, then the prophets are saddled with the defeat again. I'm going to tell you something. Prophets will stand, but they're tired. They stood when everybody screamed at them they're wrong. Beat on them. Well, okay. But we stood. Now you stand. Now listen to what I told you. Don't tell people. You can't tell people who to vote for. They're free. They're free, Steve. You're not going to say nothing. So you're just leaving me out here. No. But they're free people. So you don't tell people who to vote for. You don't tell them what to vote for. You just tell them the truth. But there is prophetic scriptures, and there is time, and there is a devil, and there is demons, and there is things that's trying their best to steal, kill, and destroy. Talk about the supernatural. Hallelujah. Well, that's all.
You can watch the entire broadcast with Robin Bullock and Steve Schultz using the link in the show notes. You know, God said it was between God and the prophets, and that the prophets have done their part. Now, God says, to see him work in our behalf, it's between God and the pastors and the people. It seems clear to me that God is regrouping the fivefold ministry to properly include prophets and apostles. Part of the reason for the impotency of the church is that we have been functioning primarily with the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, with many churches omitting the prophets and apostles altogether. That's man's rejection of God's plan. Don't you see? Ephesians 2:20 informs us that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ himself as the cornerstone. I am aware there are some Christian denominations that reason the foundation laid by the prophets and apostles was laid during the lifetime of Christ. And since Christ's work as the chief cornerstone was completed with his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, therefore, they reason, the work of the prophets and apostles must be complete. These same people claim the apostles and prophets completed their mission by giving us the written word of God, which they claim is the completed revelation of God. They claim the ongoing work of the apostles and prophets is now manifest in the Holy Spirit, speaking through and teaching us God's word, and they say, in that way, the fivefold ministry is still active. Honestly, if that were the case, God would have told us so. God has not even intimated this. This thinking is man's reasoning, devoid of any inspiration from God. Let's walk through this rationale. If the work of the apostles and prophets was complete at the point of Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, then how do we explain the entire body of work by the apostle Paul, who was converted on the road to Damascus 4 to 7 years after Christ's ascension? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 18, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth passes away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." End quote. The phrase, "until all is accomplished," points to Jesus' fulfillment of the specific Old Testament hopes, partly through his earthly life, death, and resurrection, and then more fully after his second coming, which is confirmed through his citing the passing away of heaven and earth. I see this to mean all of the fivefold ministry is in effect until after his second coming. One more consideration. There are about 88 prophets featured or mentioned in the Bible. A prophet is someone who receives revelation from God for equipping and preparing God's people. This is different from the personal revelations God gives us individually as we seek understanding. Of the 88 prophets, 63 are in the Old Testament and 25 are in the New Testament. Some listed in the New Testament are referred to as false prophets, which reveals there would be such thing as a legitimate prophet. Jezebel in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 is one example. Additionally, in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, specific to the church at Antioch alone, there is a list of prophets and teachers, which is significant because the entire book of Acts records the acts of the early church after Christ's ascension. Listen, my husband is an architect, and I have learned a lot through the years about the importance of a foundation for any building. The higher the building, the deeper the foundation needs to be. Since we have been adding to the world population globally, we have gained the greatest number of Christ followers in our day worldwide, and this number will continue to increase until the last days. This means we are continually expanding the foundation of the church to meet the needs of all the people. Yes, there are false prophets and there are legitimate prophets. We can easily discern which is which by their fruit, and what I've consistently brought you are prophetic words by God's proven prophets. Anyone in the fivefold ministry who has assumed their position in the church without being called by God will fail, and they will be held accountable by God for any harm they caused God's people. Conversely, anyone who is called by God but fails to share truth with God's people will be held accountable for that. And this includes the influence lay Christians are to have in sharing the truth with people they encounter as part of our Great Commission. We are to be ready in season and out to give a reason for the hope that is within us. The work of the prophets, especially in the last days as evil advances, is needed more than ever to guide God's people through tumultuous times. Kim Clement gave many prophecies that have been and are being fulfilled in these days. As he explained, part of the work of a prophet is to pray against destruction and calamity that evil plans to bring preservation to a nation. There's a short clip of him speaking about this with the link in the show notes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, which, by the way, was written by the Apostle Paul after the ascension of Jesus, explains all five positions are to be in place to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Works of service means each one of us doing what we are gifted and called to do to advance the kingdom of God, thereby subduing evil, which is essential for us to occupy until Christ returns. To have God's intended victory, as God expressed through Robin Bullock, means four things must be in place. We must have right faith, right decisions, right boldness, and right action or speech. God said he has already done his part in the battle against evil, and now his people must partner with him to see the work completed, specifically the pastors and the people. Through Robin, God admonished pastors especially, specifically stating, "What you compromise to keep, you will surely lose." Robin said pastors, of course, cannot tell people who to vote for, but they must tell people the truth. The lack of church leadership addressing real-world events is one main reason I started this podcast. I am willing to speak from this platform what pastors and other leaders need to say, but are not. Many of the reasons pastors give for not speaking on current events are lame, just as Robin said. And it's dangerous, too, because rather than seeking to please men or build their own platforms, pastors need to seek God and build God's platform. This lie about the separation of church and state and that church should not be involved in government or politics has actually been given teeth by the Johnson Act, and the whole thing is a scheme of the enemy. The kingdom of God is a government. The government is upon Christ's shoulders. We are to be co-laborers with Christ. We are most definitely to be involved in God's kingdom government to subdue the evil governments of the world. All the ancient kingdoms and nations of the Old Testament that were not for God were judged by God as he worked through his people to overthrow the wicked nations. God told his people to attack and get rid of all sorts of nations, to subdue them, because in so doing they were overcoming evil. People who say Christians are not to be involved in government or politics are woefully lacking in basic Bible understanding. Our role in this New Testament era is to first fight from a spiritual perspective through worship of God, prayer, and decreeing and declaring what God says. Then God sends heavenly hosts to fight the evil hosts who are working through people, causing all manner of destruction on earth. Second, and especially in a constitutional republic that is governed for and by the people, our role is to be involved in government and its politics to assure righteous and truthful laws and rulings. Proverbs 29:2 states, "When the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan." But involvement doesn't stop at government and politics. It includes the other six mountains of influence: religion, family, business, education, media, and art/entertainment. Third, some who are called to serve in government will be called to the military to physically fight against evil governments, just as we are witnessing with Israel. But God is working to give Israel victory over the unrepentant evil people who want to see Israel wiped off the face of the earth. Yes, there are human casualties of this spiritual war, because it is a spiritual war of good versus evil that is played out in the natural world. Some of us may be called to physical battle and have to risk our safety and lives, but it's for the greatest cause ever, the very same cause Jesus died for, to overcome evil. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Where would we be without the brave men and women who risk their safety, with some giving up their lives to fight for the preservation of good, since ancient times? Romans 8:19 means that the entire creation, including the earth, is eagerly anticipating the full revelation and manifestation of God's children, who will bring about a restoration and healing to the world. Essentially, the earth is waiting for people to fully live out their identity as sons and daughters of God, bringing positive change and aligning with God's intended purpose. I've been working hard to help you realize your personal place in God's plan for the past several weeks. Compared to the population of the world, relatively few of us will be called to a physical battle, but every single one of us is called to fight the spiritual battle. I'd love to hear from you to learn what you got out of today's podcast. Please email me at faithtoliveby@pamelachristianministries.com. As I shared, I expect to bring Stephen Groves next week. Stephen is highly educated and has a very impressive resume. and he's often seen on ABC, BBC, CNBC, CNN, and CNN International, CBS 60 Minutes, Fox News, MSNBC, National Public Radio, Voice of America, NHK, Al Jazeera, Al Hurra, and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And that's a lot. And just think, now we can add Faith to Live By on that list. Seriously, I know I'm the one who's being honored for him to be my guest. And heads up, I have a call into Amanda Grace to have her back as soon as possible. It's always enlightening when Amanda shares with us. Now, I ask you to listen to my announcements and to take advantage of the many goods and services I bring you in an effort to at least cover the costs of this podcast. It may seem far off, but most people make plans for a significant vacation about a year in advance. So if you haven't already expressed interest in traveling with us in October 2025, now is the time to do so. We want to have about 30 people total because this size group works best for the specific tour I have in mind. We'll be walking the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. I'm using the time between now and February 2025 to determine if we have enough interest, and the trend indicates we definitely should. We have just about 30 people on the list now, but I'd like to have more because when it comes to the actual day of making a commitment, things could have changed, and I want to be able to have at least 30 actually attend the tour. So if you think you'd like to be part of the Faith to Live By Christian tour with me in Greece during October 2025, now is the time to get your name and number in your party on the list. There's no obligation at this point. You're just expressing your interest. While the specific details are subject to change, as it stands now, the week-long tour will include 4 nights at Divani Palace Acropolis Hotel in Athens, which includes breakfast, 1 night at Amelia Hotel in Delphi, which includes breakfast, 1 night at Grand Meteora Hotel in Kalambaka with breakfast, 2 nights at Mediterranean Palace Hotel in Thessaloniki, that includes breakfast, 2 dinners at local restaurants, tour guide throughout, deluxe coach throughout, admissions to museums and sites, tips to guides, drivers, and restaurants, and all local taxes. Estimated cost per person double occupancy room is about $3,000. Attendees need to arrange their own air travel to and from the Athens International Airport. To get your name on the list, send an email to faithtoliveby@pamelachristianministries.com with the word Greece in the subject line. In the body of the email, provide your name, contact information, and number of people you expect to be in your party. This will place your name on the interested in attending list, but does not obligate you in any way. It merely assures you have first right of refusal come February 2025 when down payments are due. If you didn't get the details written down that I just shared, simply visit my Beyond the Podcast page using the link in the show notes. If you like what you hear from me with this podcast, I highly recommend my book series, my award-winning blog, and consider signing up for my certificate course in apologetics. My aim with that course is to help people learn how not only to use apologetics to share truth with others, but to help Christian leaders incorporate apologetics into their respective ministries so more Christians are learning how to share their faith. You can learn more by using the link in the show notes. For now, I offer my weekly podcast, my blog, and bi-monthly e-newsletter at no cost. And certainly, I have hard costs associated with doing all I do. If you've been blessed by my work and would like to help my work reach others, why not consider partnering with me? For as little as $10 a month, you can become a partner. Then together, we can reach even more people for Jesus. Simply visit my Pamela Christian Ministries homepage and then click on the Give button at the top menu bar. Or if you prefer, you can go directly to the Give page using the link in the show notes. To become a partner, you can use my PayPal or Venmo account, but you will also see other ways you can support my work on that page. Whether you choose to become a monthly partner, give a one-time donation, purchase my books and products from my web store, or support my affiliate sponsors, anything you can do to help me continue this work would be greatly appreciated. And as always, your prayers and telling others about me and my ministry work is much needed. When it comes to my selection of affiliate sponsors, I first look for Christian-owned and operated businesses, and I make a point of personally using the products or services so I can fully endorse them. I seek sponsors that offer products or services you can get via the internet worldwide, and I specifically consider what is common to most people universally. So you'll find health, beauty, and wellness products through Dr. Zelenko Z-Stack supplements and from Operation Tomahawk and from QE Strong. Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack supplements are truly amazing and are available to my listeners for a 5% discount per purchase or a 10% discount for a monthly subscription using the promo code FTLB. Operation Tomahawk is a membership purchase program with an American-owned and operated company offering personal and household care products that are not made of toxins or genetically modified ingredients. Stop buying national brands from corporations that are part of the deep state cabal. Use the link in the show notes, and from the drop-down menu under How Did You Hear About Us, select Pamela Christian, Faith to Live By. You may have heard my interview with Rob Renee about QE Strong. Discover the benefits of quantum energy to overcome all sorts of ailments. Visit QEStrong.com and use the promo code FTLB at checkout to receive your discount. Then, my newest affiliate I'm really excited to bring you is Q Streaming. That's C-U-E Streaming Television. People with United States addresses can get over 3,000 channels, including live TV with streaming television, without a contract. Get all of your local networks and favorite movie and sports and pay-per-view channels for about half of what cable costs. See the video promo link in the show notes to learn more. Affiliate sponsors only provide financial support to me when you purchase what they offer. So before you support Amazon or any other retailer, if I offer what you're looking for, please purchase through me. When it comes to special occasions, birthdays, or Christmas gifts, consider my books, jewelry, CDs, and more from my web store or any of the affiliate goods and services I offer. When you purchase from my web store, be sure to use the promo code TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, to receive a 20% discount. Again, you'll find all the links in the show notes. If you like the content and resource material I bring you with this podcast, you'll find much more by connecting with me through my blog. In fact, my blog has been awarded 2 unsolicited awards for Christian content. And I'm also very active on social media. I can cover much more on social media than I can with this weekly podcast. And if you're not already subscribed, please subscribe to my complimentary bi-monthly e-newsletter. I offer encouragement, special offers, and one of my signature recipes with each and every edition. Yep, I'm a foodie and I love to entertain, which is why Faith, Family, Friends, and Food is a bonus segment of my bi-monthly e-newsletter. To receive even more, please be sure to check out my dedicated podcast listeners page, Beyond the Podcast. Here's where we can connect exclusively and you can download complimentary devotionals, resources, and more. On that page, I also ask you to help me learn more about you and what you want by completing the form visible once you scroll down that page. And something that is very easy for you to do and would mean a lot to me is for you to rate, subscribe, or comment on this podcast according to what your preferred listening platform allows. You know how it works. The more likes and subscriptions to this podcast, the more opportunity we have to expand the listening audience. And that means we can reach more people with the gospel message of Jesus while helping people learn how to better apply their Christian faith. I hope you'll join me next week and tell your friends and family to listen right here on Faith to Live By, where we learn how to gain spiritual victory over life's issues. Until next week, I'm Pam Christian, asking you to remember, Christ died for us. The least we can do is live for Him.